Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Jonah Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. We'll get to the Ben Simmons saga coming up shortly here. Also, this season for the Eagles, a success or not, your opinion, 215-592-9494. I'll give you an opinion, John, sent to me by a buddy of mine who's a chef. And here's his tweet. He says, bro, Richie needs to learn as a chef. No, he's not implying you're a chef. He's implying that he's a chef, which he is. Cooking professionally for over 20 years, you don't eat fish in a diner.
Thank you.
I mean, come on, John. Fish in a diner?
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
What are we doing?
I mean, I'm not
here?
Saying I get here? Fish every time. Yeah. I'm saying if it tickles
one
my
time
fancy,
is too many.
Yeah, I will get the fish.
Grilled cheese, breakfast food, burgers. Yeah, keep
it
simple.
I think you guys understand how much I love fish.
I don't think you understand how much we feel like you should not order fish in a diner.
Exactly right. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Anthony's with us right now. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, what's going on, Joe? John, first time caller.
Well, thanks, Anthony.
So I believe that the Eagles season was not a success, and here's why. They weren't better than the Dallas Cowboys. They couldn't even win a division. Like, at least with a minimum, you have to win a division to have a successful season.
I don't agree with that, but I think the standard of holding yourself up to your main rival does matter, and they really weren't close to the Cowboys.
Not even close.
Yeah, they really
not
weren't.
Even close.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, if they would have won Sunday and beaten the playoff team in the playoffs, I may consider saying they had a successful
season. Oh, well, for sure. But they not only didn't win, they got blown out.
Right. So, yeah, that's, as far as being successful, no, not at all.
I think it's a great point to make.
I mean, they need I hope that they use these draft picks well. I'd like to see, like, some defensive studs come in. Because they need help on defense. The offense is average. I mean, whether they go quarterback or not, I think they can still maybe have Hurts for another year and see what he can do with maybe add another weapon on offense.
Right.
But I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think we need to see Jalen with a legit – like 1-2 wide receiver and Dallas Goedert, not just a wide receiver or Dallas Goedert.
Right.
Because, you know, like a lot was made of that. Actually, Angelo, when he talked to Nick Sirianni about, a certain play during that game, talking about cover 7, where you can basically double Dallas Goedert and double Devontae Smith.
Yep.
I mean, teams can do that because no one else is a threat.
There's no one else that's a threat.
Anthony, give me a great character active in a TV show today.
As much as I like what you've already said with Marty Bird in Ozark, I'm going to go Michael Keaton in Dope Sick.
All right, you got
it. I haven't seen it, but people say it's a really good show.
All right, very good.
Really?
By the way, other characters from Ozark can apply. I mean, there's a couple in particular that I think are really, really good.
Hey, he said Michael Keaton there, and I, my brain jumped to Michael J. Fox, of course.
Yeah, it's a different Michael.
But I wouldn't say of course.
Well,
I don't think everyone's did. I thought of Batman.
I mean, if anything, you should jump to Michael Douglas, because Michael Keaton's real name is Michael Douglas.
Well, look, the reason it jumped to Michael J. Fox.
Yep.
Because Alex P. Keaton.
Ooh. Oh, okay. I see that.
But
and we're talking TV characters.
Yeah. I mean, that's who I was thinking he was talking about at first, yep. Michael J. Fox. Have you seen Michael J. Fox lately?
No.
Why?
I saw a picture of him in my Us Weekly.
Yep.
Unrecognizable. Completely unrecognizable.
Because of the disease?
I don't know. He was sitting next to Ben Stiller, who is also like completely like Steve Martin gray hair Ben Stiller. Like he's almost unrecognizable. But Alex P. Keaton,
wow.
Michael J. Fox, I didn't know it was him.
That's a vicious disease he has. I don't know if it's related or not. All right, Twitter poll question of the day. Do you think the 76ers will trade Ben Simmons before this season's trade deadline, which is, I believe it's February 10th, coming up in about 2.5 weeks? A, yes, B, no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. So the latest, if you don't know, Daryl Morey on the record, saying that he thinks it is more likely that the Sixers will not trade Ben Simmons before the trade deadline. Now, he completely acknowledges he wants to trade Ben. He might be able to trade Ben, but he is not of the mindset to trade Ben Simmons unless the 76ers get back a player or players or assets, whatever you want to call them, draft picks, players, whatever it is, that he believes moves them much closer to being a championship contender. He's not looking. He's very clear that he is not looking only for a marginal upgrade or a trade that makes people within the 76ers organization and 76ers fans happy to be able to say, hey, see that checklist right there? We got this thing on our list of things to do, trade Ben Simmons. We're not going to trade him just because we want to check that item off the checklist. We're only going to trade him if we can actually get something that we believe makes us a real elite championship contender. John, that strategy from Daryl Morey, you like it, you don't like it, what are you thinking?
I loved hearing what he had to say because it's the right way to approach this. I know we hate Ben Simmons. Yes. I mean, I hate that part, that it means we might waste the season. But doesn't it make you feel better, Joe, when he says basically – yeah, everyone wants Ben gone, but if we sacrifice and settle for less than what would truly make us a championship contender, we're not just sacrificing this season. We're burning every season from here to
that part makes
forward.
That part makes
that
sense.
That absolutely makes sense. He's saying, yes, we might have to sacrifice this season. Yes, we might have to sacrifice the unbelievable effort and improvement that Joel is putting forth on the court. Now, he also said that improvement might be helping get something done. That's opening up some avenues that maybe wouldn't have been there otherwise. But I love the fact that he said, if our odds haven't changed much at all because of this trade, then we've not just burned away this season, we've burned away our future as well. That is smart. That's why I put my trust in Daryl Morey, and I think he will get the right trade done. It might be frustrating. We might have to wait and sit on our hands, and that's going to be tough.
All right, here's the deal. So I think, John, what you're saying makes a lot of sense in that what he's saying in that regard makes sense. But here's the thing to me that's never made sense. The whole time, this, I don't know, call it, I mean, we got to be up to about 4 months now of this nonsense, probably longer. I mean, it really goes back pretty much to the end of the summer. So we're probably talking about 6 months. No one has convinced me that this strategy of waiting will actually net the Sixers, will actually get the Sixers the kind of spectacular return Daryl Morey apparently has dug in to wait for. Like, if I felt that by waiting 2 weeks or into next offseason,
well,
that
what
it's
are you
like
talking about?
What
he's
I'm talking
saying that, he's going to wait until he gets that return.
What I'm saying is,
which
I,
is fine,
no, John. Listen to me real clear. I do not believe Daryl Morey will get the return that he claims to wait for.
Well, if he doesn't, then that is an absolute failure.
Correct. That's my point.
But he says he's not going to pull the trigger on this deal.
I know what he
until
says.
Until it's a deal that really gives us a chance to win a championship. And so, of course, I'm fine with that. I am frustrated by the concept of having to wait for it.
Yeah, I just,
but that is what we all want, Joe.
Look, I appreciate that his mindset is to try to really maximize the Sixers' chances of winning a title. It should be, and from that standpoint, it's good. But I just have felt the whole time that it's like he's digging for gold in an area that there's no gold. I mean, you can dig down the earth for gold or oil. If there's no gold and there's no oil, you ain't getting rich in that spot. And I just feel like he's digging and digging and digging for what? That's how I see it.
There are teams who are still interested in trading for Ben Simmons somehow.
Well, sure, there are
teams out there who will. And the idea talking about, you know, we must involve a third team. You know, like it is unlikely that this deal is going to just be two teams. You know, that makes sense too. That does improve your chances, but those deals are harder to get done.
They're complicated.
You just got to wait for the great.
Let's find out. Wait for the great. That's a good slogan. If it happens, let's find out what everyone thinks. Do you think the 76ers will trade Ben Simmons before the trade deadline in a couple weeks? A, yes, B, no. The GM says it's more likely that they will not make a deal, although he wants to. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and certainly weigh in on the phone lines as well. 215-592-9494. And, you know, the strategy that Daryl Morey has presented as, you know, his strategy with the 76ers on Ben Simmons, do you think it is a wise strategy or a foolish strategy? I mean, I think it's wise if he can pull it off. I just don't think he can pull it off. Therefore, to me, it sounds foolish. That's what I hear. Let's go to Nick right now in Chester County. Hey, Nick.
Yeah, what's good, fellas?
Hi, Nick.
You know, I called in with an Eagles point, but sometimes, you know, you wait on hold and, you know, different things enter your mind.
Sure.
You know, I want to talk about the Sixers.
Sure.
John, I don't understand how you can say you trust Daryl Morey. What has this guy done to earn your trust? Like,
he hasn't made a bad trade for Ben Simmons yet. Like, he hasn't done anything to earn my distrust.
He also had a good track record in Houston, Nick. I think a lot of people do swat aside, oh, he didn't win a title, so why should I trust him? He got Houston pretty close. There's no shame in being the third or fourth best team in basketball for about 5 years. He had a good run. He had a really good run there.
He did, but I'll say this. If James Harden wanted to be a Sixer, he would be a Sixer right now. And I feel like that's what people are sort of holding out hope for, hoping that we'll be able to get him in the offseason because he's, you know, unhappy in Brooklyn or whatever the rumors are.
Yep.
But, like, they had that opportunity last year, and they blew it. They blew it.
Well, the reason is, and I, as a fan, there was an aspect to this, Nick, I appreciated. With the Sixers, and I don't know exactly what it would have been, but what they would have had to give up in addition to Ben Simmons to get James Harden would have been all these first-round picks and all these pick swaps. And Daryl Morey was basically trying to protect, like, let's say, not only the organization, but us as fans in the year 2025, 2026, 2027. I mean, if they made the kind of trade where you give up two or three first-round picks and two or three pick swaps, I mean, that can cripple a franchise.
Yeah, but do you think it would have to be any different now? I mean, you'd still probably have to give up.
You know what? I'll tell you what. With James Harden, this upcoming offseason will be a year and a half older than he was when he was traded by Houston, because that was in the early part of last season. And the fact that I'd say James Harden, for the most part, hasn't played as well while he's still really good, I think a little bit of the shine has come off him. I think the value would be a little bit less to give up. Yeah, I do.
I think a lot of the shine has come off of Ben Simmons since then as well.
Well, so. More shine has come off Ben. That's obvious, yeah.
Yeah.
Eagles, what's your Eagles point?
Well, I think that this season was a success if you compare it to what we did last season, of course. But in terms of just the overall sort of successful season period, I would have to disagree. Because if you look at what the Bears did last season, it was really similar to what we did this season. They weren't a great team in the first half, and then they got hot at the end with a below-average schedule, and they made their way into the playoffs and didn't compete in the first game. And I think, you know...
Yeah, and then they stunk this year. So, yeah, that is a concern.
There's different dynamics to it, but I think, you know, overall, I struggle to call this a successful season for, you know, our standards as football fans.
All right, Nick, give me a current a great character in a TV show.
One of the most likable characters I've ever seen, Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso,
great answer.
Wow.
Big answer. I am continuing in my Ted Lasso catch up. I am now season 1, episode 9 last night, John.
Okay, so almost done season 1.
I think I'll move fast now. Because here's the deal. I cleared
through. Stop watching these other things that you've seen 20 times.
Yeah, but I also watched
There's no need for West Wing.
Hold on a second, though. I also just finished Yellowstone, 10 episode. I just finished Cobra Kai.
Yeah, you're watching new stuff.
I'm also watching True Detective. Like, I'm watching.
Oh, guys, wait, what? Oh, you didn't tell us that.
Yes, I'm watching nine shows right now.
How far into True Detective are you?
So I started
nine
with
shows a little much.
I know it's too much.
You're
I know
that's a lot.
I'm well aware. Believe me, I agree with you. That's why I'm trying to not start something else. Although obviously I'm going to start Ozark this weekend. True Detective, I like it. I started with season 3, which I didn't want to do.
Oh, that was a mistake.
Well, why would you do that?
Well, here's the reason. So Amy from Villanova, tell me if she's wrong. So she tells me that each season is a completely new entry.
It is, okay. But season 1 is like far and away the best season.
Well,
what season
1 is the one that you want to watch.
I'm going to give you the answer because she says, and again, she could be wrong, seasons 1 and 3 are both very good and 2 stinks. She had seen season 1. I had not.
I haven't seen three.
So we're watching it together.
I've heard it's okay, like comparatively. Yeah. Like one is one of the best seasons of television in the last 20 years.
Fair enough, and I can get to that on my own time.
Like watch one. Watch
but
one.
We sit together and you know. And
tell her to rewatch one.
She didn't want to. Listen, James, we have these battles. Believe me. I mean, you know, James, you know how it is with your wife. When you got to choose shows, that's a decision.
No, we're linked, man. We don't have any. She loves Succession. We love the same things. Like we don't have any issues with that. We honestly, our issue is, and this is not something you can relate to.
Right.
We don't have enough time to watch all the TV we want to watch.
Oh
together.
No, I can't relate to that.
I know you can. Trust me, I know you can.
I even have.
We get like 3 or 4 hours a week to watch.
Sometimes
TV
I'm
Max.
Even sitting there, and she's and believe me, I'm not partaking actively, but I might be like preparing for the show or something. And freaking Vanderpump Rules is on TV. That show is a disgrace to humanity.
Yeah, I don't.
John,
I don't
if you don't know Vanderpump Rules, consider yourself lucky.
So you watch that?
Keep your daughters away from watching Vanderpump Rules.
They don't want to watch.
But it's the kind of thing in 7 years they'll probably want to watch.
Oh.
Women like Vanderpump Rules. I mean, it is.
Well, you watch.
It's a really popular show.
It is.
It's like one of the most popular of those types.
And then what's
of
the Down Under show? Below Deck. What's that thing called?
There is a show called Below Deck.
Yeah, when I say Down Under the ship.
The deck.
Yeah.
So I think you're talking about like an Australian show.
No, John. Below
so
Deck.
These are also shows that you're watching.
No.
You watch Vanderpump Rules.
Tough beat
and
for you,
Below
buddy.
Deck.
Don't stick me with that, John.
So you're watching 11.
Like
shows.
I said, I might be sitting there preparing for the show, and it's back. And when I say background noise, I mean noise.
You love it.
They're like the what's those the wives of
Real Housewives.
Yeah, they're like the cousins of the Real Housewives show. They're terrible. They're disgraceful. Let's go to Steve right now in Feasterville. Steve, don't stick me with those shows. What's up, man?
How you doing today?
Hey, buddy.
Great, Steve.
All right, first time, long time.
Thank you.
As far as the Sixers, Simmons, I think we're just going to let him sit in the corner. So he gets what he wants.
Well, there is that's the one part of the strategy I do enjoy that, it seems like for the most part, Ben doesn't get paid. And, right. That theoretically could go into next year. It's a wild scenario.
Well, the thing is, he's hurting himself. And besides, he thinks he's hurting the Sixers. But
yeah, he absolutely is not getting paid, guys.
At this point in time, I think Matisse Thybulle is worth more than Ben is.
No, on the open no.
Play.
Well, as far as the guy that plays, sure, because Thybulle plays and Ben doesn't. But on the trade market, it's a tremendous difference. You got to remember, Steve, Ben Simmons is a 3-time All-Star at the age of 25.
Correct.
I mean, I know we view him kind of as a joke, but other organizations, particularly small market organizations like the Pacers and the Kings, who never get a legitimate free agent to choose to sign in Sacramento or Indiana, organizations like that value the idea of being able to get a player that has 4 years left on his contract after this one.
Mm-hmm.
That they don't get that often. The Kings had one run in the last 40 years, and it was because they made a trade for a disgruntled potential star in Chris Webber, and it actually worked for them. And that's part of why the Kings fan base is intrigued by Ben Simmons.
Hey, you realize Ben Simmons, like these fines now have added up to
out more if he suit up.
Yeah, all right, Steve, give me a great character on TV. Who do you have?
Kelly Riley from Yellowstone.
You got it, man. Yeah, Yellowstone's got the Duns. I got you.
13.5 $5 million, $13.6 million. He's forfeited.
Yeah, I mean,
this season.
Here's the problem. It's funny. I was having a conversation with a friend on the phone about this last night, John. This is what's nuts. I'm not going to say he doesn't care because I don't know that. He doesn't care enough to show up. We know that.
Yeah.
And why does he not care enough to show up? Because even if he doesn't show up this year, he still has about $120 million guaranteed for the next 4 years, which he can choose to change his strategy or not if he wants. He still has however many millions he's already made in the NBA as a number one overall pick. Let's remember, this isn't like, hey, you're an NFL or you're a third-round guy, you're making $1 million or $500,000 in a season. I mean, he's probably already made, and you might have the numbers right in front of you, Don, he's probably already made $40 or $50 million by the Sixers. Plus, he's got all the endorsements. I mean, you got to remember, he is Australian endorsement guy. Australia is a continent. So, you know, we go through Philadelphia, or if you go up to New York and go through Times Square, you might not see a Ben Simmons big endorsement. You go through Australia, you're going to see endorsements. He's Australia basketball dude. So this guy has already banked millions. He knows millions are still coming. So he literally doesn't care enough about the money he's missing to show up, which is sick.
You got to assume, though, that...
But it makes sense if you have that many millions.
Those endorsement deals have to be flagging to some degree in his native...
You know, I don't
country.
Know if there were clauses in those contracts where those companies say, if you don't play in the NBA because you choose not to, we get to opt out and not have to pay you. I mean, think of it this way, guys. Zion doesn't play. Zion, when he came out of Duke in the NBA, he had like a $100 million deal. I think it was Nike. Wasn't it Nike that Zion got $100 million?
I believe so, yes.
All right. He doesn't play basketball. He hasn't played this year in the 3 years. I mean, people probably forget. This is Zion's third year. But most people probably don't know that because it seemed like he never plays. But, I mean, you're raking in millions. Now, most athletes, I think, are still motivated to try their hardest and to show up and to be in shape, knowing, hey, I can parlay this into a 15-year career and I can make $500 to $750 million. That's appealing. I'd like to buy a plane. I can't buy a plane right now, but maybe in 7 years I can buy a plane. Cool. But some athletes are like, yo, like Derek Coleman, whoop-de-damn-do, the hell with it, I'm done. You know,
I think it's also that some of those guys really love playing.
That's
you know,
true.
That's part of it too, right?
Yeah.
Which is something we've talked a lot about with Ben.
Well, we talk a lot about that with Ben in part because, John, he might enjoy basketball, but competitive basketball, when the fans are in the stands and the opposing team can foul him and he is afraid.
I don't think he enjoys basketball.
I mean, he must play every single game afraid every single time the ball goes into a half-court setting.
Right.
Fast break, I don't think he's afraid. Defense, I don't think he's afraid. When the ball crosses half court and his team has the ball and it's 5-on-5 and a half court, I think he's afraid. We fundamentally know he's afraid to shoot the ball.
Right.
Therefore, I think he's afraid to play offensive basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And that can't be fun. And, God, that's got to be brutal. Let's go to Ja'Cory. If the guy just learned to shoot the ball, the whole thing could be different. Had the guts to do it. What's up, Ja'Cory?
What's going on, guys?
Hi, Ja'Cory.
First off, I want to start off with the Eagles. I feel like it wasn't a successful season because of the free agent signings. Steven Nelson was all right, but I feel
he wasn't horrible. No, the Vikings linebacker they cut was horrible. Steve Nelson was okay. The Eagles got
Anthony Harris. Steve Nelson.
Yeah,
oh,
Nelson.
I'm sorry.
The linebacker.
No, Eric Wilson.
Yeah, Wilson. Wilson was horrible. Steve Nelson was okay.
He did get
picked on by Brady though. Brady went after him in the playoff game.
Ryan Kerrigan, horrible.
Yeah.
Yep.
I feel, and another thing is too. John was talking with Fletcher Cox. Yeah, you're right. Like, we might have to take what is it, $15 million cap hit going into the next season. That's bad. That's like, you know, that takes off what we can do with free agency, like signing a big name wide receiver, or getting you know another offensive lineman or a corner that we can get. Another thing is, too, with Jalen Hurts' development, I know we want him to develop, but I don't think we don't have that much time because our aging veterans on defense especially, you know, offensive line, we don't know if Kelsey's going to retire this year or what. So we don't know. We can't There's no time to develop. We're in win now mode based off of, you know, our age and veterans. So, with Ben Simmons, too,
yep.
I feel like he's going to get traded at some point. I think it's going to happen in the offseason, not now, because there's too many things going on. I think Murray is just waiting for the right, you know, deal to come along.
Do you think he's going to get that, Ja'Cory?
I don't – he's not going to get the star that he wants, but he's going to get like a De'Aaron Fox or maybe a Sabonis or somebody like that, a lower tier all-star, something like that.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. I think Fox is nowhere near an all-star, but I agree with your general assessment. He'll get a – you know, an okay player, but far from the kind of player that we're really hoping he gets, which is part of my frustration that he keeps waiting, because my sense is those players have been available the whole time.
And he keeps waiting
for something that I just don't think will come around. I mean, like, I could be trying to be the Phillies shortstop. It's never going to happen. I can try. I can try for the next 25 years. It'll never happen. I'm not good enough. He's waiting for something that I believe will never, ever, ever happen. For him to get some kind of transformative player in a trade, I just don't think it's going to happen. Ja'Cory, give me a great current character in a television show.
Okay, this probably won't win, but it's one of my favorite shows on television. I think this is an underrated show. I'm going to go with Franklin Saint Snowfall, FX.
All right, you got it, Ja'Cory. Appreciate that phone call, man. 215-592-9494. Coming up, audio of a Bucks coach on the sideline from the game last Sunday, critical of Jalen Hurts, telling his defense what Jalen Hurts could not do against Tampa Bay's defense. It's pretty damning audio. That plus Greg Cosell from NFL Films, from NFL Films, Greg weighing in on Hurts, his evaluation with Hurts now that the season is over. You'll hear what Cosell, who is the master of film study, says about what he sees on film when he watched Jalen Hurts play. All that and more up ahead, plus Beat the Hammer at noon. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on 94 WIP. Hey, you guys hear me talking all the time about how much I love to take a hot bath. I certainly do. And there's nothing better than knowing that with a parts and labor plan from PGW, when you need hot water, you have hot water. PGW's parts and labor plan is great protection for your natural gas heater and other natural gas appliances. And when your appliances run efficiently, you spend less money, and, of course, that means you get to keep more money in your pocket. There are plenty of plans to choose from, and there's never been a better time to sign up. Plus, it's so easy to do. Go to pgwplp.com. That's pgwplp.com, and choose the plan that's right for you.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.